Chapter 14. We are told that the wedding of the Duke of Hastings and the former Miss Bridgerton, while small, was most eventful. Miss Hyacinth Bridgerton, 10 years of age, whispered to Miss Felicity Featherington, also aged 10, that the bride and groom actually laughed aloud during the ceremony. Miss Felicity then repeated this information to her mother, Mrs. Featherington, who then repeated it to the world. This author shall have to trust Miss Hyacinth's account, since this author was not invited to view the ceremony. Lady Whistledown's Society Papers, 24th of May, 1813. There was to be no wedding trip. There hadn't, after all, been any time to plan one. Instead, Simon had made arrangements for them to spend several weeks at Cliveden Castle, the Bassett's ancestral seat. Daphne thought this a fine idea. She was eager to get away from London and the inquiring eyes and ears of the Ton. Besides, she was oddly eager to see the place where Simon had grown up. She found herself imagining him as a young boy. Had he been as irrepressible as he now was with her? Or had he been a quiet child, with the reserved demeanour he showed to most of society? The new couple left Bridgerton House amidst cheers and hugs, and Simon quickly bundled Daphne into his finest carriage. Although it was summer, there was a chill in the air, and he carefully tucked a blanket over her lap. Daphne laughed.
"Isn't that a bit much?" she teased. "I'm unlikely to catch a chill on the few short blocks to your home."
He regarded her quizzically.
"We travel to Cliveden."
"Tonight?"
She could not disguise her surprise. She had assumed they would embark on their journey the following day. The village of Cliveden was located near Hastings, all the way down on England's southeastern coast. It was already late afternoon. By the time they reached the castle, it would be the middle of the night. This was not the wedding night Daphne had envisioned.
"Wouldn't it make more sense to rest here in London for one night, and then travel on to Cliveden?" she asked.
"The arrangements have already been made," he grunted.
"I see."
Daphne made a valiant attempt to hide her disappointment. She was silent for a full minute as the carriage lurched into motion, the well-sprung wheels unable to disguise the bumps from the uneven cobbles beneath them. As they swung around the corner to Park Lane, she asked,
"Will we be stopping at an inn?"
"Of course," Simon replied. "We need to eat supper. It wouldn't do for me to starve you on our first day of our marriage, would it?"
"Will we be spending the night at this inn?"
Daphne persisted.
"No,
Simon's mouth clamped shut into a firm line, then inexplicably softened. He turned to her with an expression of heart-melting tenderness.
"I've been a bear, haven't I?"
She blushed. She always blushed when he looked at her like that.
"No, no. It's just that I was surprised at..."
"No, you're right. We will rest the night at an inn. I know of a good one halfway down to the coast. The Hare and Hounds. The food is hot and the beds are clean."
He touched her on the chin.
"I shan't abuse you by forcing you to make the entire trip to Cliveden in one day."
"It's not that I'm not hardy enough for the trip,"
she said, her face colouring even further as she considered her next words.
"It's just that we did get married today, and if we don't stop at an inn, we'll be here in the carriage when night falls and..."
"Say no more," he said, placing a finger to her lips.
Daphne nodded gratefully. She didn't really wish to discuss their wedding night like this. Besides, it seemed the sort of topic that the husband ought to bring up, not the wife. After all, Simon was certainly the more knowledgeable of the two on that subject. He couldn't possibly be any less knowledgeable, she thought, with a disgruntled grimace. Her mother, despite all her hemming and hawing, had managed to tell her absolutely nothing. Well, except for the bit about the creation of children, not that Daphne understood any of the particulars. But on the other hand, maybe... Daphne's breath caught in her throat. What if Simon couldn't? Or what if he didn't want to? No, she decided firmly. He definitely wanted to. Moreover, he definitely wanted her.
She hadn't imagined the fire in his eyes or the fierce pounding of his heart that night in the gardens. She glanced out the window, watching as London melted into the countryside. A woman could go mad obsessing over such things. She was going to put this from her mind. She was absolutely, positively, forever going to put this from her mind. Well, at least until that night, her wedding night. The thought made her shiver. Simon glanced over at Daphne. His wife, he reminded himself, although it was still a bit difficult to believe. He'd never planned to have a wife. In fact, he'd planned quite specifically not to have one. And yet here he was, with Daphne Bridgerton. No, Daphne Bassett. Hell, she was the Duchess of Hastings, that's what she was. That was probably the strangest of all. His dukedom hadn't had a duchess in his lifetime. The title sounded odd, rusty. Simon let out a long, calming exhale, letting his eyes rest on Daphne's profile. Then he frowned. "Are you cold?" he asked. She'd been shivering. Her lips were slightly parted, so he saw her tongue press up against the roof of her mouth to make an N sound. Then she moved ever so slightly and said,
"Yes, yes, but just a touch. You needn't..."
Simon tucked the blanket a bit more closely around her, wondering why on earth she would lie about such an innocuous fact. "It's been a long day," he murmured, not because he felt it, although when he did stop to think about it, it had been a long day, but because it seemed like the right type of soothing remark for the moment. He'd been thinking a lot about soothing remarks and gentle consideration. He was going to try to be a good husband to her. She deserved at least that much. There were a lot of things he wasn't going to be able to give Daphne. True and complete happiness, unfortunately, among them. But he could do his best to keep her safe and protected and relatively content. She had chosen him, he reminded himself. Even knowing that she would never have children, she had chosen him. Being a good and faithful husband seemed the least he could do in return.
"I enjoyed it,"
Daphne said softly. He blinked and turned to her with a blank expression. "I beg your pardon?" The shadow of a smile touched her lips. It was a sight to behold, something warm and teasing and just a little bit mischievous. It sent jolts of desire straight to his midsection, and it was all he could do to concentrate on her words as she said,
"You said it had been a long day. I said I enjoyed it."
He looked at her blankly. Her face screwed up with such enchanting frustration that Simon felt a smile tugging at his lips.
"You said it had been a long day,"
she said yet again.
"I said I enjoyed it."
When he still didn't speak, she let out a little snort and added,
"Perhaps this will all seem more clear if I point out that I implied the words yes and but, as in yes, but I enjoyed it."
"I see," he murmured, with all the solemnity he could muster.
"I suspect you see a great deal,"
she muttered,
"and ignore at least half of it."
He quirked a brow, which caused her to grumble to herself, which, of course, caused him to want to kiss her. Everything made him want to kiss her. It was starting to grow quite painful, that. "We should be at the inn by nightfall," he said crisply, as if a businesslike mien would relieve his tension. It didn't, of course. All it did was remind him that he'd put off his wedding night by a full day. A full day of wanting, needing, of his body screaming for release. But he was damned if he was going to take her in some roadside inn, no matter how clean and tidy it might be. Daphne deserved better. This was her one and only wedding night, and he would make it perfect for her. She shot him a slightly startled look at the sudden change of subject.
"That will be nice."
"The roads really aren't safe these days after dark," he added, trying not to remind himself that he'd originally planned on pushing straight through to Clifton.
"No,"
she agreed. "And we'll be hungry."
"Yes,"
she said, starting to look puzzled at his current obsession with their newly scheduled stop at the inn. Simon couldn't blame her, but it was either discuss the travel plans to death or grab her and take her right there in the carriage, which was not an option. So he said, "They have good food." She blinked once before pointing out,
"You said that."
"So I did." He coughed. "I believe I'll take a nap." Her dark eyes widened, and her entire face actually bobbed forward as she asked,
"Right now?"
Simon gave a brisk nod. "I do seem to be repeating myself, but I did, as you so thoughtfully reminded me, say it had been a long day."
"Indeed."
She watched him curiously as he shifted in his seat, looking for the most comfortable position. Finally, she asked,
"Are you truly going to be able to fall asleep here in the moving carriage? Don't you find the ride a bit bumpy?"
He shrugged. "I'm quite good at falling asleep whenever I wish to. Learned how on my travels."
"It's a talent," she murmured.
"Jolly good one," he agreed. Then he closed his eyes and faked sleep for the better part of 3 hours. Daphne stared at him, hard. He was faking it. With 7 siblings, she knew every trick in the book, and Simon was definitely not asleep. His chest was rising and falling in an admirably even manner, and his breath contained just the right amount of whoosh and wheeze to sound like he was almost, but not quite, snoring. But Daphne knew better. Every time she moved, made a rustling sound, or breathed just a little too loudly, his chin moved. It was barely perceptible, but it was there. And when she yawned, making a low, sleepy, moaning noise, she saw his eyes move under his closed lids. There was something to admire, however, in the fact that he'd managed to keep up the charade for over 2 hours. She'd never lasted past 20 minutes herself. If he wanted to feign sleep, she decided in a rare fit of magnanimity, she might as well let him. Far be it from her to ruin such a marvellous performance. With one last yawn, a loud one, just to watch his eyes snap to attention under his eyelids, she turned to the carriage window, drawing the heavy velvet curtain back so she could peer outside. The sun sat orange and fat on the western horizon, about 1/3 of it already resting below the edge of the earth. If Simon had been correct in his estimation of their travelling time, and she had the feeling that he was frequently correct about such things, people who liked mathematics usually were, then they should be almost at the halfway point of their journey, almost to the Hare and Hounds, almost to her wedding night. Good God, she was going to have to stop thinking in such melodramatic terms. This was getting ridiculous.
Simon?
He didn't move. This irritated her.
Simon?
A little louder this time. The corner of his mouth twitched slightly, pulling down into a tiny frown. Daphne was positive he was trying to decide if she'd spoken too loudly for him to continue to feign sleep.
Simon!
She poked him, hard, right where his arm joined with his chest. There was no way he could possibly think a person could sleep through that. His eyelids fluttered open, and he made a funny little breathy sound, the sort people made when they woke up. He was good, Daphne thought, with reluctant admiration. He yawned.
Daph.
She didn't mince words.
Are we there yet?
He rubbed non-existent sleep from his eyes.
I beg your pardon?
Are we there yet?
He glanced around the inside of the carriage. Not that that would tell him anything.
Aren't we still moving?
Yes, but we could be close.
Simon let out a little sigh and peered out the window. He was facing east, so the sky looked considerably darker than it had through Daphne's window.
Oh, he said, sounding surprised. Actually, it's just up ahead.
Daphne did her best not to smirk. The carriage rolled to a halt, and Simon hopped down. He exchanged some words with the driver, presumably informing him that they had changed their plans and now intended to spend the night. Then he reached up for Daphne's hand and helped her down. "Does this meet with your approval?" he asked,
with a nod and a wave toward the inn. Daphne didn't see how she could render judgment without seeing the interior, but she said yes anyway. Simon led her inside, then deposited her by the door when he went to deal with the innkeeper. Daphne watched the comings and goings with great interest. Right now, a young couple, they looked to be landed gentry, were being escorted into a private dining room, and a mother was ushering her brood of four up the stairs. Simon was arguing with the innkeeper, and a tall, lanky gentleman was leaning against her. Daphne swung her head back toward her husband. Simon was arguing with the innkeeper? Why on earth would he do that? She craned her neck. The two men were speaking in low tones, but it was clear that Simon was most displeased. The innkeeper looked as if he might die of shame at his inability to please the Duke of Hastings. Daphne frowned. This didn't look right. Should she intervene? She watched them argue a few moments longer. Clearly she should intervene. Taking steps that weren't hesitant, yet could never be called determined, she made her way over to her husband's side.
"Is anything amiss?"
she inquired politely. Simon spared her a brief glance.
"I thought you were waiting by the door."
"I was,"
she smiled brightly.
"I moved."
Simon scowled and turned back to the innkeeper. Daphne let out a little cough, just to see if he would turn around. He didn't. She frowned. She didn't like being ignored.
"Simon?"
She poked him in the back.
"Simon?"
He turned slowly around, his face pure thundercloud. Daphne smiled again, all innocence.
"What is the problem?"
The innkeeper held his hands up in supplication and spoke before Simon could make any explanations.
"I have but one room left,"
he said, his voice a study in abject apology.
"I had no idea his grace planned to honour us with his presence this eve. Had I known, I would never have let that last room out to Mrs. Weatherby and her brood. I assure you,"
the innkeeper leaned forward and gave Daphne a commiserating look,
"I would have sent them right on their way."
The last sentence was accompanied by a dramatic whooshing wave of both hands that made Daphne a touch seasick.
"Is Mrs. Weatherby the woman who just walked by here with four children?"
The innkeeper nodded.
"If it weren't for the children, I'd—"
Daphne cut him off, not wanting to hear the remainder of a sentence that would obviously involve booting an innocent woman out into the night.
"I see no reason why we cannot make do with one room. We are certainly not as high in the instep as that."
Beside her, Simon's jaw clenched until she would swear she could hear his teeth grinding. He wanted separate rooms, did he? It was enough to make a new bride feel extremely unappreciated. The innkeeper turned to Simon and waited for his approval. Simon gave a curt nod, and the innkeeper clapped his hands together in delight, and presumably relief. There was little worse for business than an irate duke on one's premises. He grabbed the key and scurried out from behind his desk.
"If you'll follow me..."
Simon motioned for Daphne to go first, so she swept past him and climbed the stairs behind the innkeeper. After only a couple of twists and turns, they were deposited in a large, comfortably furnished room with a view of the village.
"Well now,"
Daphne said, once the innkeeper had seen himself out,
"this seems nice enough."
Simon's reply was a grunt.
"How articulate of you,"
she murmured, then disappeared behind the dressing screen. Simon watched her for several seconds before it occurred to him where she'd gone.
"Daphne,"
he called out, his voice strangling on itself,
"are you changing your clothing?"
She poked her head out.
"No, I was just looking around."
His heart continued to thud, although perhaps not at quite as rapid a pace.
"Good," he grunted. "We'll be wanting to go down for supper soon."
"Of course."
She smiled, a rather annoyingly winning and confident smile, in his opinion.
"Are you hungry?"
she asked.
"Extremely."
Her smile wobbled just a touch at his curt tone. Simon gave himself a mental scolding. Just because he was irate with himself
didn't mean he had to extend the anger toward her. She'd done nothing wrong.
"And you?" he asked, keeping his voice gentle.
She emerged fully from behind the screen and perched at the end of the bed.
"A bit,"
she admitted. She swallowed nervously.
"But I'm not certain I could eat anything."
"The food was excellent the last time I ate here. I assure you..."
"It's not the quality of the food that worries me," she interrupted. "It's my nerves."
He stared at her blankly.
"Simon,"
she said, obviously trying to hide the impatience in her voice, but not, in Simon's opinion, succeeding.
"We were married this morning."
Realization finally dawned.
"Daphne," he said gently, "you needn't worry."
She blinked.
"I needn't."
He drew a ragged breath. Being a gentle, caring husband was not as easy as it sounded.
"We will wait until we reach Cliveden to consummate the marriage."
"We will?"
Simon felt his eyes widen in surprise. Surely she didn't sound disappointed.
"I'm not going to take you in some roadside inn," he said. "I have more respect for you than that."
"You're not. You do."
His breath stopped. She did sound disappointed.
"Oh, no."
She inched forward.
"Why not?"
Simon stared at her face for several moments, just sat there on the bed and stared at her. Her dark eyes were huge as they returned his regard, filled with tenderness and curiosity and a touch of hesitation. She licked her lips, surely just another sign of nerves, but Simon's frustrated body reacted to the seductive movement with an instant quickening. She smiled tremulously, but didn't quite meet his eye.
"I wouldn't mind."
Simon remained frozen, curiously rooted to the spot, as his body screamed, "Tackle her! Haul her onto the bed! Do anything! Just get her under you!" And then, just when his urges began to outweigh his honour, she let out a small, tortured cry and jumped to her feet, turning her back on him as she covered her mouth with her hand. Simon, who had just swiped one arm through the air to yank her to him, found himself off balance and face down on the bed.
"Daphne," he mumbled into the mattress.
"I should have known," she whimpered. "I'm so sorry."
She was sorry. Simon pushed himself back up. She was whimpering? What the hell was going on? Daphne never whimpered. She turned back around, regarding him with stricken eyes. Simon would have been more concerned, except that he couldn't even begin to imagine what had so suddenly upset her. And if he couldn't imagine it, he tended to believe it wasn't serious. Arrogant of him, but there you had it.
"Daphne," he said with controlled gentleness, "what is wrong?"
She sat down opposite him and placed a hand on his cheek.
"I'm so insensitive," she whispered. "I should have known. I should never have said anything."
"Should have known what?" he ground out.
Her hand fell away.
"That you can't... that you couldn't..."
"Can't what?"
She looked down at her lap, where her hands were attempting to wring each other to shreds.
"Please don't make me say it,"
she said.
"This," Simon muttered, "has got to be why men avoid marriage."
His words were meant more for his ears than hers, but she heard them, and, unfortunately, reacted to them with another pathetic moan.
"What the hell is going on?"
he finally demanded.
"You're unable to consummate the marriage," she whispered.
It was a wonder his erection didn't die off in that instant. Frankly, it was a wonder he was even able to strangle out the words.
"I beg your pardon?"
She hung her head.
"I'll still be a good wife to you. I'll never tell a soul, I promise."
Not since childhood, when his stuttering and stammering had attacked his every word, had Simon been so at a loss for speech. She thought he was impotent.
Why?
A stutter? Or plain old shock? Simon thought shock. His brain didn't seem able to focus on anything other than that single word.
I know that men are very sensitive about such things, Daphne said quietly.
Especially when it's not true, Simon burst out.
Her head jerked up.
It's not?
His eyes narrowed to slits.
Did your brother tell you this?
No.
She slid her gaze away from his face.
My mother.
Your mother? Simon choked out.
Surely no man had ever suffered so on his wedding night.
Your mother told you I'm impotent?
Is that the word for it?
Daphne asked curiously. And then, at his thunderous glare, she hastily added,
No, no, she didn't say it in so many words.
What?
Simon asked, his voice clipped.
Did she say exactly?
Well, not much,
Daphne admitted.
It was rather annoying, actually. But she did explain to me that the marital act...
She called it an act.
Isn't that what everyone calls it?
He waved off her question.
What else did she say?
She told me that the... whatever it is you wish to call it...
Simon found her sarcasm oddly admirable under the circumstances.
Is related in some manner to the procreation of children and...
Simon thought he might choke on his tongue.
In some manner?
Well, yes.
Daphne frowned.
She really didn't provide me with any specifics.
Clearly.
She did try her best,
Daphne pointed out, thinking she ought at least to try to come to her mother's defence.
It was very embarrassing for her.
After 8 children, he muttered, you'd think she'd be over that by now.
I don't think so,
Daphne said, shaking her head.
And then when I asked her if she'd participated in this...
She looked up at him with an exasperated expression.
I really don't know what else to call it but an act.
Go right ahead, he said with a wave,
his voice sounding awfully strained. Daphne blinked with concern.
Are you all right?
Just fine, he choked.
You don't sound fine.
He waved his hand some more, giving Daphne the odd impression that he couldn't speak.
Well,
she said slowly, going back to her earlier story.
I asked her if that meant she'd participated in this act 8 times, and she became very embarrassed and...
You asked her that?
Simon burst out, the words escaping his mouth like an explosion.
Well, yes.
Her eyes narrowed.
Are you laughing?
No,
he gasped. Her lips twisted into a small scowl.
You certainly look as if you're laughing.
Simon just shook his head in a decidedly frantic manner.
Well,
Daphne said, clearly disgruntled,
I thought my question made perfect sense, seeing as she has 8 children. But then she told me that...
He shook his head and held up a hand, and now he looked like he didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Don't tell me, I beg of you.
Oh.
Daphne didn't know what to say to that, so she just clamped her hands together in her lap and shut her mouth. Finally, she heard Simon take a long, ragged breath and say,
I know I'm going to regret asking you this. In fact, I regret it already. But why exactly did you assume I was...
He shuddered.
Unable to perform.
Well, you said you couldn't have children.
Daphne... There are many, many other reasons why a couple might be unable to have children.
Daphne had to force herself to stop grinding her teeth.
I really hate how stupid I feel right now,
she muttered. He leaned forward and pried her hands apart. Daphne, he said softly, massaging her fingers with his,
do you have any idea what happens between a man and a woman?
I haven't a clue,
she said frankly.
You'd think I would, with 3 older brothers. And I thought I'd finally learned the truth last night when my mother...
Don't say anything more,
he said in the oddest voice. Not another word. I couldn't bear it.
But...
His head fell into his hands, and for a moment Daphne thought he might be crying. But then, as she sat there, castigating herself for making her husband weep on his wedding day, she realised that his shoulders were shaking with laughter. The fiend.
Are you laughing at me?
She growled. He shook his head, not looking up.
Then what are you laughing about?
Oh, Daphne, he gasped. You have a lot to learn.
Well, I never disputed that, she grumbled. Really, if people weren't so intent on keeping young women completely ignorant of the realities of marriage, seems like this could be avoided.
He leaned forward, his elbows resting on his knees. His eyes grew positively electric. I can teach you, he whispered. Daphne's stomach did a little flip. Never once taking his eyes off of hers, Simon took her hand and raised it to his lips. I assure you, he murmured, flicking his tongue down the line of her middle finger, I am perfectly able to satisfy you in bed. Daphne suddenly found it difficult to breathe. And when had the room grown so hot?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
He yanked her into his arms. You will.